Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Men Insights podcast. Yes, I know it's been a few weeks since I've done any podcasting or any videos on the YouTube channel, but I am here. I am back with episode 101 to discuss the 2020 WWE draft. Got all my notes right here from Friday Night SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. So let's get straight to it. Recapping night one of the draft. We opened the show round one with, well, actually first, the rules of the draft. I believe might be brand new. It said that any champions drafted, that title becomes part of that brand. Meaning, like, say, like, if the SmackDown tag titles get drafted to Raw, then it becomes the Raw tag titles, and vice versa. You know, but we'll get to that. But yeah, night one on Friday Night SmackDown, we kicked it off with round one of night one. And drafted to Raw is WWE Champion Drew McIntyre, Raw Women's Champion Asuka, and The Hurt Business, which is, of course, MVP, Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, Cedric Alexander. And then drafted by SmackDown, Universal Champion Roman Reigns, and first time being part of the SmackDown roster in his entire WWE career, Seth Rollins. That's right, the Monday Night Messiah is no more. He'll now be the Friday Night Messiah. We'll see when he makes his official SmackDown debut this week. And right after they made the announcement that he's joining SmackDown, Seth then had a backstage promo talking about how, you know, being part of the Blue Brand for the very first time in his WWE career is a big thing for him. So that's pretty cool. And then we follow this up. It was a Falls Count Anywhere match with Big E taking on Sheamus. And this is the culmination of their feud that has gone on throughout the entire summer. And it was a pretty good match. At least I enjoyed it. And not too many spots that I can remember off the top of my head, but I do have my notes right here. So, yeah, there was a candlestick spots that happens throughout the match. And the welts that were on Sheamus' back, all over his back, they looked like they really stung. And because kendo sticks, those are solid bamboo sticks, and yes, they do break over, but bamboo hurts. Bamboo, it's like, see, as solid as this little cap is on my pen, that if you're watching this on YouTube, see that? It's almost as solid as that, and it hurts. And all the welts all over his back, they look like they stung so bad that, like, you know, even the slightest little bit of, you know, alcohol to touch it, like rubbing alcohol or sanitizer, that would burn so much. Trust me. I work for the hospital out here, so I know how much sanitizer can burn on an open wound. There was a part when they made their way backstage where they had a table of pancake ingredients, such as, you know, flour and eggs, and Sheamus decided to dump all of that on top of Big E, you know, embarrassing him and humiliating him, and essentially trying to make him a pancake. So, you know, like, make him the pancake. And then eventually they ended up in the parking lot, or parking garage, rather, of the Amway Center. And we had a spot that Sheamus, he did the white noise move on the windshield of a car to Big E, and that looked like it hurt, for real. Now, I don't know if the glass on the car was gimmicked, but it still looked like it hurt, and Big E's back and shoulder were cut up pretty bad. And then the match finally ended when Big E did the big ending from the top of one car to the table that was sitting by the entranceway of the arena. And that looked like it hurt pretty good too. So that was cool. And then afterwards, when they showed Big E celebrating, we got to see the return of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. My reaction when I saw, you know, Kofi was like, oh, cool, Kofi's back. But then when I saw Xavier Woods come into the frame, I got excited because I love Xavier Woods. For my favorites of New Day, it's Big E, then Xavier Woods, then Kofi. You know, and I know a lot of people love Kofi. Kofi had the great story going, becoming WWE champion last year. But for Xavier Woods, I mean, because he's basically the black version of me, you know, and obviously a more athletic version as well. You know, because he's big into video games, big into all the nerdy shit. So I just had that special love for him. And the next was a promo with Jey Uso confronting Roman Reigns, where he was demanding to know what's the big stipulation that he has in mind for their rematch at Hell in a Cell, inside Hell in a Cell. for the WWE title. And then he was eventually cut off by Paul Heyman appearing on the big Titantron, where he was reiterating that business will be done on the champ's terms and on the champ's time. And then they aired a video package of, you know, the events of the Clash of Champions pay-per-view, which I gotta say was a very good pay-per-view. And the match that these two had, while it was not a technical wrestling classic, the story was phenomenal. It was phenomenally told, in my opinion. I enjoyed the hell out of it. But yeah, after they aired the video package, we see Roman on screen with Paul, and he announced that their Hell in a Cell match will also be an I Quit match. So that's going to be pretty cool. I'm wondering how the match itself is going to go, but the fact that it's an I Quit match inside Hell in a Cell just opens it up to all kinds of possibilities. So we'll see how this story progresses once we get to Hell in a Cell. And then next up, we had round two of the draft. And drafted by Raw, we have AJ Styles, Naomi, and the women's tag team champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And then being drafted by SmackDown, we had Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. So, yeah, Bianca Belair is officially part of the Blue brand, which is really cool. I love Bianca Belair, and hopefully she'll get a good, you know, shot, a good run, and have a shot at the SmackDown women's title. And next up was Miz and Morrison versus Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle. You know, this was a fun but quick match, so, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, Matt and Jeff Hardy, Matt Riddle and Jeff Hardy, rather, they won the match. But the real story of the match was the return of Lars Sullivan. That's right, Lars Sullivan, after being out for a year and a half, finally made his return, and he just destroyed and fucked up everybody in his path. Didn't matter who it was. Face, heel, didn't matter. He destroyed everybody. And then we came to round three of the draft, and drafted by Raw was Ricochet, Mandy Rose, and Miz and John Morrison. And then drafted by SmackDown, Jey Uso, and Rey Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio. So, and then after we had that little round of the draft, we had Sasha Banks versus Bayley for the SmackDown Women's title. And this was a hard-hitting, fast start to this match that did not slow down for several minutes, eventually ending by DQ after Bayley hit Sasha with the steel chair. Because, you know, this all started with the steel chair, and it's going to be how it goes for the rest of the time. And then, you know, eventually Sasha took this chair and started beating the shit out of Bayley as well. So, you know, that Bayley was able to weasel her way out of there and made her way back up the ramp to get her ass out of there saved and all that good shit. And then next we had Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura return to defend the SmackDown titles, tag titles, against the returning Kofi and Xavier Woods after there was the promo with Kofi and Woods with Big E backstage. Cesaro and Shinsuke, because Woods and Kofi, they were talking about, you know, wanting to regain the tag team titles and all that. So Cesaro and Shinsuke were like, you know what, fine, we'll give you a shot. And this was a very good match, although it was nothing too spectacular that happened during the match. And I'm doing laundry, that's why the camera is shaky if you're watching this on YouTube, which most of you do. So, New Day eventually came out on top and won the SmackDown tag team titles, officially making them 9-time tag team champions, which is 2-time Raw tag team champion and 7-time SmackDown tag team champions. Then we came to the fourth and final round of the draft for night one. Drafted first by Raw was Kofi and Xavier Woods, then Dana Brooke, and then Angel Garza, and then drafted by SmackDown, we had Otis and Big E. Yes, that's right. New Day has officially been split between the two brands. And that was the big story to come out of Friday for the first night of the draft. And yeah, there's a lot of fans that were fairly heartbroken by this news, including myself. I love the New Day. And it's, yeah, I was a little sad that they finally split them up, because I mean, they'd been together for 6 years, I believe. I would say 6 years, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, Yeah, 6 years and had one of the best runs of any group in WWE history. Because how many groups have lasted that long? Most groups barely last a year. I mean, the Shield lasted a year and a half. You know, before they had their first breakup and then a couple of times that they reunited after that. But yeah. You know, and DX been off and on since 97, but they didn't have a solid run, you know, like they did, where it was just 2015 to 2020. DX, it was 97, the original, with Shawn, Triple H, China, and Rick Rude in the beginning until he quit after the Montreal Screwjob. And then in 98 to 99, where it was Triple H, X-Pac, Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, China. And then they reunited at the end of 99 to go into 2000, and then they broke up again. So, yeah, you know, a lot of stables that didn't have the length of time that New Day did. So, sucks that New Day is essentially no more, but you know, this will open new doors for all of them. You know, Kofi and Woods go to Raw to do whatever they can do on Raw, and then Big E is on his own on the Blue brand, so we'll see how that goes. Maybe he'll become the next Intercontinental Champion, or even go for the Universal title. We'll see. And then next we had a backstage segment with Otis and Tucker preparing to fight the Miz's lawsuit over the Money in the Bank contract. I mean, it's been a few weeks since I've actually watched a full episode of SmackDown, so I think that's what the fight was about. But then was served a notice of continuance, I believe is what it's called, which is the Miz postponing their case. So, yeah. And then it was a promo from Sasha challenging Bayley to a Hell in a Cell match for the SmackDown Women's title. And then we finally arrived at our main event, which was The Fiend versus Kevin Owens, which came as a result of the Kevin Owens show when he had Alexa Bliss on as a guest and, you know, The Fiend decided to fuck him up about that. So, yeah. And, you know, and this one was a very good match. And honestly, this is the kind of match that I'm surprised actually happened on SmackDown, because this, you know, is a match you'd expect to happen on a pay-per-view. And this was actually, this was the network television debut match of The Fiend, if that's hard to believe, because he's only, as The Fiend, he's only been on pay-per-view. This is the first time he's having a match on Raw or SmackDown. So, yeah, but yeah, it was a good match, and they beat the hell out of each other. You know, I'm reading it almost verbatim from my notes. They beat the hell out of each other for about 20 minutes. Owens even put Fiend through the announcer's table, but still wasn't enough, as the Fiend would go on to be victorious after KO hit him with the stunner, but the Fiend had the mandible claw locked in on him all the way through. Yeah, because it was literally like he got him with the claw. Owens hit him with the stunner, but the claw was still locked in. So, and then the show closed with the announcement that Roman Reigns would be his defending his Universal title against Braun Strowman this coming week for the season premiere of SmackDown. And then on Talking Smack, we had round 5 of the draft, which saw Humberto Carrillo, Tucker, and Drew Gulak draft going over to Raw. And then coming to SmackDown is Murphy and Kalisto. Yeah. Now we move on to night 2 of the draft for Monday Night Raw. And the show kicked off with Randy Orton having a promo talking about his Hell in a Cell rematch against Drew McIntyre. And it was a pretty standard heel promo, which, I mean, it was a good promo, but it was still a pretty standard promo. You know, and then Drew interrupted and cut a fairly standard face promo. And then they decided to brawl as well, because, you know, I think Drew, as Drew said it, anytime that they're both in the same arena, he's going to make his life hell, is what I think is what it was. Yeah, I mean, I'm paraphrasing at this point. But yeah, then we have round 1 of the draft for night 2. And coming to Raw is The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, and Randy Orton and Charlotte Flair staying on Raw. And then for SmackDown, we have Bayley staying on there and the Street Profits moving over to SmackDown. So yeah, tag team champions switched both brands. And after that, we had Aleister Black versus Kevin Owens in a no DQ match, and this one was another pretty good match too. And the action started before the bell, and it did not let up at all. And the match was a very good one. Though it didn't have as many, highlighted spots as Big E and Sheamus, at least to me. Although one spot that was really cool is where they had six chairs lined up where, the seats were connecting to each other, lined up one by one by one in a row. And Alistair did a move where he got Kevin Owens off the top rope and slammed him right onto the chairs. Can't remember exactly what the move was. I think it might have been some kind of suplex, but it was pretty nasty bump is what it looks like. But eventually, the match would come to an end when Kevin Owens got the pin after powerbombing Black through a table. And that looked like it hurt as well. And then we come to round two of the draft, and drafted by Raw is Braun Strowman, Matt Riddle, and Jeff Hardy. And then from SmackDown, we had Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens officially being part of the Blue Brand once again. So then up next, we had Miz TV with guests Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, which it was an okay segment. I mean, Mandy was talking about how, Miz, split up her and Otis because of, their shit with the contract. And, my camera froze. If you're y'all, there you go. Yeah. see, this is, if you're listening to the audio only version, you don't understand me saying that, some of that stuff. But anyways, Mandy was complaining about Miz is the reason why her and Otis aren't together. And Miz is like, I did you a favor, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually Lana and Natalya showed up and a fight broke out because, that's what they always do. But one of the parts that actually was pretty funny because Mandy Rose talking smack to Lana said something about, how she spent so much time on TikTok, saying that if she spent less time on TikTok and training, she might actually win a match. So that was nice. Then, they came back from commercial break. Miz and Morrison were still in the ring. And then Lars Sullivan decided to show up. And, he fucked both of them up again. So. And then next was another backstage segment where we had the Street Profits and the New Day. They exchanged the tag team titles, to each other. And it was just funny because even Xavier Woods just smiling the whole time. He just says, that makes so much logical sense. And it was overseen and authorized by Adam Pearce, which I love that Adam Pearce is an on-screen personality now, because, I don't think a lot of fans realize that how great of a wrestler he was, and especially his legacy as an NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. So, as a big fan of his, I'm happy to see him getting his spotlight in WWE now. Because he's one of the trainers and producers for WWE, so awesome to see him on screen. And then during all of that, New Day and Street Profits, they were, celebrating each other's, tag team title runs. And then Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode showed up and they demanded a shot at the Raw Tag Team titles. So that was made official and we got to see that later in the night. And round three of the draft, drafted by Raw, is Retribution, Keith Lee, and Alexa Bliss. So yes, The Fiend and Alexa Bliss are now both part of Raw. And drafted by SmackDown is Lars Sullivan and King Corbin. Yeah, King Corbin stays on SmackDown. Whoop-dee-doo. And then up next, we had the farewell address of Seth Rollins, talking about how he was a great leader for Raw, and that Raw will be in shambles without him, kind of thing. And eventually he was interrupted by Jeff Hardy, where he was just confronting, him, just basically something, this is my show now, you're part of SmackDown. And then he said, you're going to fight the Lars Sullivan on SmackDown this week. So I guess even though, all the draft ends on this episode of Raw, everything doesn't go into effect until next week. I mean, I'm guessing that's how it is, because, we got Jeff Hardy and Braun Strowman drafted to Raw, but they're going to fight on SmackDown this week. I don't know. Anyways, after Seth made that announcement, he was leaving, and then AJ Styles decided to show up, and he was talking trash about Seth and Jeff Hardy. So, he said something about Jeff, talking about an AA meeting or something like that. And then Seth was laughing and then he just got in his face. He's like, this was never your show to begin with. So get out of here kind of thing. And then Seth didn't like that. So then a brawl broke out with all three of them. And it ended up in a triple threat match, which was a very good and exciting match, which is to be expected from these three guys. I mean, they're all phenomenal athletes. They're three of the best to ever step foot in the WWE ring. And it was fast-paced, high-impact action from start to finish that eventually saw AJ Styles victorious after a returning Elias came in and smashed a guitar over the back of Jeff Hardy, allowing Styles to steal the victory. And then round four of the draft, drafted by Raw, is Elias, Lacey Evans, and Sheamus. And then drafted by SmackDown is Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Shinsuke Nakamura. And then next we had Lana and Natalya versus Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. And you know, this was a fun match. I mean, nothing too exciting, nothing too spectacular. And Mandy and Dana won, which I love because I'm a fan of both, especially Dana. Would love to see her get a title shot eventually, a fair one, because she's more than paid her dues, in my opinion. And then Natalya dumped Lana, so there we go with that. And then afterwards was another backstage segment with Ricochet, where he was face-to-face with the Hurt Business, where he was talking about that he wanted to challenge them one last time, with the stipulation being that if he wins, their beef is squashed, they're done, they go on their separate ways. But that if he loses, he would join the Hurt Business. And Cedric Alexander was the one to accept this challenge from Ricochet. And then up next we had Angel Garza versus Andrade with Zelina Vega on commentary. And this was a very good match that I feel should have been a little bit longer, but I understand why it was cut short, because it was to serve what happens at the end of the match. After Garza won, Vega came into the ring to check on Andrade, and then the lights went out, and then the lights came back on. The red lights came back on, and there was Alexa Bliss in the corner doing the upside down thing that Bray Wyatt does, and then behind Andrade and Vega was the Fiend, and then Bliss and Fiend hit Andrade and Zelina with dual sister Abigail's, which looked pretty damn cool. It was a great and awesome visual where they both had them in the position, they were looking eye to eye to each other, and then boom. Perfect synchronization with the sister Abigail. Then we have round five of the draft, and being drafted by Raw is Nikki Cross, R-Truth, and from Raw Underground, Daba Kato. So we'll see how that goes, because they haven't filmed any of the Raw Underground segments in a few weeks because of, you know, since a lot of the people that are there are NXT participants, or NXT and PC, you know, people. There was like a COVID scare that happened a couple weeks ago, so they haven't really been able to do that. But anyways, the next match we had was the New Day defending. SmackDown drafted Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, and Apollo Crews. Yeah, see, I almost just completely skipped that. But anyways, yeah, then after that, the next match was New Day defending against the Raw Tag Team titles against Roode and Ziggler. And I'll be honest, I barely paid attention to this match. I was too busy texting my friend Talia. Not Talia Al Ghul, for my DC friends out there. Yeah. But yeah, I was too busy with that. But, you know, New Day won, and they retained the tag team titles, obviously. And then next came a backstage interview with Elias, where he talked about how he hasn't forgiven Jeff Hardy for when he got hit by the car a few months ago, if you remember that storyline with Sheamus and him. And he also announced that he has an album coming October 26th, and he's doing a concert on Raw next week, because that's what the world needs right now. That's what they are missing right now. I've missed Elias. He's cool. And then after this, we had the match with Ricochet and Cedric Alexander. And this one was another very, very good match. Yeah, this one I actually paid a lot more attention to it than I did New Day versus Roode and Ziggler. And it's a lot of high spots, as expected. But the match eventually ended in a DQ after a minor ref bump allowed MVP to slide a steel chair into the ring over to Cedric, but it was stopped by Ricochet. He picked it up, saw that the referee was getting back on his feet, And he pulled an Eddie Guerrero, slamming the chair on the floor, tossing it over to Cedric, doing the most dramatic feint I've ever seen, and got the DQ victory. So his beef with the Hurt Business has been squashed. And then we go to round 6 of the draft, which was the final round of the Raw broadcast. And we're drafted to Raw, Titus O'Neil, Peyton Royce, and Akira Tozawa. And drafted by SmackDown was Carmella and Aleister Black. Yes, and then we had the main event, which was a dual brand battle royal to pick a number one contender for the Raw women's title. And we were blessed with Asuka on commentary, which is always wonderful. And not a lot of things that I really remember from this match, you know, in particular, but one thing that I actually do remember that I thought was pretty funny was Nia Jax put Lana through another announce table again with the Samoan drop, and she was, you know, incapacitated for the rest of the match. And it came down to Natalya and Lacey Evans, and Natalya eliminated Lacey, and she thought she was the winner, but because we all forgot that Lana was just knocked out outside the ring, she was never eliminated. She weaseled her way back in, eliminated Natalya, and now she's getting a title shot against Asuka on the season premiere of Monday Night Raw next week. Yay! And then the show closed with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre brawling throughout the arena again. Then on Raw Talk, we have round 7 of the draft, and drafted by Raw, Lana, Riddick Moss, and Arturo Ruas. And drafted by SmackDown, The Riot Squad and Natalya. And also from a WWE Network exclusive that was before Monday Night Raw, drafted by Raw was Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado. Drafted by SmackDown was Shorty G. Now, I've seen a lot of people complaining about the way the draft has been, where it's, you know, not a lot of important people per se being drafted, and I get that complaint. I do. It makes sense. But the thing is, these people are drafted for a reason. You know, we don't know those reasons as fans because we only know what we see on the screens. You know, and if you're like me who tries not to follow the dirt sheet reports, then you don't know what's going on backstage either. You know, and my understanding of it, at least from how they did it for the draft the first time last year, that these are legitimate drafts and decisions made by Fox and the USA Network. I don't know for sure if that's legit, but that's my understanding of it, at least. Now, yeah, I can understand why some people are upset with certain picks and certain people being drafted or not being drafted, but there's still always time where people can be traded, you know, that they can do an exchange, like, oh, I'll give you this person in exchange for this person. You know, that's what they do. So, but with some of these people being drafted over to SmackDown, you know, being part of the SmackDown brand for the first time, like Seth Rollins especially, and Aleister Black being part of SmackDown now, you know, I'm actually excited to see how things go for the next 12 months on the with these new additions to the rosters. So, yeah, I'm going to be optimistic about this. So hopefully things will work out for the better. You know, as far as, you know, what would I like to see from some of these people? I'm really sure. I mean, I've seen a lot of people saying, like, oh, now that Seth and Roman are on the same brand, we're going to get the Shield. No, we're not. We're not going to get the Shield. The Shield is dead. Fuck the Shield. That's right. I said it. Fuck the Shield. No, because I love the way Roman Reigns is right now. I love that he's being the cocky, arrogant, you know, high chief, you know, that he's been for the last few weeks. I love that. I love that. And it's just, that's just funny because for years fans were begging for him to turn heel, and that he's finally heel. They're still up. They're still not happy. That's why I went on that rant months ago saying that wrestling fans are fickle, because they are. They spend years begging for one thing, and when they finally get it, you're still not happy. So that's your problem, not mine. You know, I'm happy. I love the way Roman Reigns has been since he came back. You know, I am enjoying it. I am enjoying the story that has been progressing these last 2 months now. And the way I see it, and I'm discussing it with my, I discussed it with my brother as well, that the way it's building up right now, I would love for this, since it's, especially since it's been rumored for so many years, this would be the perfect time to do Roman Reigns versus The Rock at WrestleMania. This is the perfect time to do that. Whether or not they're actually going to, I don't know, but we'll see. Yeah, and we have the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view coming up soon, so I'm looking forward to that. And I haven't done my predictions for last few pay-per-views, or not all of them, but most of them I haven't done the predictions, but I'll try to remember to do the predictions for this one. And if not, oh well, I'm still going to watch it. I'll probably talk about it on another podcast after that, so we'll see. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Men in Tights podcast, recapping the 2020 WWE draft. I hope you all enjoyed hearing me talk about it. And I know I'm not exactly like other podcasters would be, where, you know, I go more analytical about it, you know, because I'm just a fan. I speak on these things as a fan. I'm not an expert. You know, I'm not like the guys from Wrestling Inc. that they got, you know, that they have their expert, you know, analysis and opinions. I'm just a fan speaking as a fan from a fan's perspective. So, but yeah, thank you. And yeah, thank you all so much for watching, for listening. And if you're not subscribed, please subscribe right now. It's the little button right over there on the side of the screen. And watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you keep up with everything that I do on here. I'm going to try to be a little more active. You know, work has been hectic and taking up a lot of my time. But starting to lighten up a little bit. I hope I didn't jinx myself with that. So I'm going to try to get a few more of these out by the end of the month, because there's a lot of them that I have lined up that I've been neglecting and pushing off for a while, but I'm going to get to it. And if you don't want to subscribe to YouTube, if you don't want to look at my face for this podcast, you can do so by subscribing to the audio only version on Spotify. I know, I'll be out in a little bit. Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, Anchor. Support me by joining my Patreon, $1 a month. That link is in the description. You can buy a t-shirt for the Men in Tights Podcast store. That link is in the description as well. Click on any of the designs that are in my store. You can get them as a t-shirt, tank top, hoodie. I mean, not all of them are going to be available in these items, but you can get t-shirt, hoodie, tank top, long sleeve shirts, stickers, magnets, all kinds of stuff. Just pick your favorite design and see what items are available for that one. Check out previous entries of the podcast, you know, regular episodes that I have on here for the last 2 years, worst to best episodes, video game reviews, retro film reviews, which I will have one coming within the next couple of weeks. Retro film, yeah. Classic wrestling pay-per-views, which I'll have another one of those come up in a few weeks as well. And regular movie reviews, just anything that's on here. My mental health awareness videos that I've done, which I'm going to try to do more of those. I do have one especially coming up very soon to talk about the next. I'm going to talk about the next campaign that I'm working on for mental health awareness. And just, yeah, thank you all so much checking this episode out. Hope you're all doing well, doing safe, staying healthy. If you'd like to, you know, talk to me about anything, you can do so by leaving a comment on the YouTube video. You can catch me on my social media, Twitter, Facebook. Well, if you have me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vero, all those links are in the description. The direct links to all the where you can find this podcast are down there as well. So yeah, I feel a little rusty. It's been a few weeks. But yeah, thank you all so much. Hope you're doing well, staying safe, staying healthy. This has been the Men in Tights Podcast. I am Julian, and I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.